This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. This is Case Closed, back with another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime, as we do every Wednesday at RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week is from the New Adventures of Nero Wolf. We'll hear their story from January 5th, 1951, titled The Deadly Sellout. After that, it's The Fat Man and The 19th Pearl, his story from January 21st, 1946.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolf's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. You're a... And you've lost your... Oh.
Archie, the answer is no.
Hold on a second. The answer to what is no, Mr. Wolf?
I shall not attempt to find a blonde for anyone.
You've got the man on the phone a little wrong, Mr. Wolf. He's not looking for a blonde. He's looking for a prize fighter.
Indeed. Have him come here.
Okay. Mr. Wolf will see you at 8. So long. I was all set to argue with you about taking the case. You gave in too fast.
Nonsense. I'm fascinated by the thought of anyone misplacing a prize fighter. They're usually quite large, aren't they?
They are. But what this guy is worried about is not only finding his boy, but finding him alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, balkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world. That chair-born genius, Nero Wolf, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
The case of the deadly sellout, that's what my boss, Nero Wolf, called it. And it almost meant curtains for the firm of Wolf and Goodwin. But let me give it to you straight right from the beginning. Although you ought to know that it wasn't until it was all over that I knew the very beginning of it myself. It all started in the New York flat of one Brock Rainey.
Yes?
The name is Jerry Fay.
I'm supposed to know you?
Being a very good friend of Pepe Gatto's, it's time you got to know me. May I come in?
Oh, sure. You've got a problem, Miss Fay?
Debbie took a fall at the garden last night against a coffee and bum named Eubanks, right?
As far as I know, Sister Gatto met his match.
Please, Mr. Rainey, do me a favor. Skip the sausage meat. It happens I saw the $1,200 you counted out to him to take a quick dive in the first.
You did.
How else would I know?
Okay, then here's my wrist. Slap it, Miss Fay. I'm a bad boy.
Now, look, who's kidding who? I don't care if Pepe makes himself a few deals on the side. I should worry whether he gives those meat eaters on the benches a run for their ducats. What's it to me?
If you're not worried, Sugar Plum, then neither am I. Also, I'm a very busy man.
Not too busy to pay off, I hope.
Pay off? To who?
To me.
For what?
For keeping it to myself that you collected $5,000 from the Eubanks crowd for getting Pepe to take that dive. Certain people might not like to hear it.
Miss Fay.
Yeah?
Drop dead.
I don't think we understand each other.
Which is just as well. Now get out of here.
There's something
else. Blow, bimbo.
Okay, Mr. Rainey. Have it your way. I'll go find someone with a more sympathetic ear. Someone like Lawson. Arnold F. Lawson. So long.
Wait. Where does Lawson come into this?
You asking is stalling. Lawson dropped a sizable piece of change on last night's two-step.
No. Close the door, Jerry.
Oh, yeah. $25,000, to be exact. That's a lot of corn to lose because a cheap fight manager arranges a frame. At least Arnold Lawson might think so.
Sit down.
Who's tired? Look, Mr. Rainey, it goes very simply in only one way. Lawson at yet knows from nothing except that your boy Gatto lost the fight. He may suspect, but he don't know. And he really don't have to know.
Glad to hear you say that.
And I'll be glad to see the shade of 3,000 long green banknotes.
How much?
You heard me. $3,000.
Get out.
Okay. I'm going. To the next phone and call Lawson.
Look, Jerry. Give me time, huh? I haven't got that kind of dough right now.
Tell it to Lawson. When he gets through with you, you won't need any kind of dough.
You know, I've got Gatto set for a go with Mellish, the title contender. Gatto can take him. Please believe me. He's going to take him.
So?
So after what happened in the Eubanks fight, the odds on Gatto will be like a war debt. We can clean up.
Listen,
we can make
Heel, I wouldn't trust you from 11:59 to midnight. Get it up. Now. I'll give you 6 hours. After that, Lawson. So long.
Come on, come on.
Hello?
Hello, Rainey, this is Gatto.
Hiya, Pappy.
Look, the boys dropped in on me at the office at Mindy's. Lawson wants to see me.
Lawson?
Look, bum, I'm the one with the cauliflower ears. You heard me, and what do I do?
Nothing.
But
don't go near him. Stay home. Let me take care of it.
How? What do you do?
I don't know yet, Pappy, but I'll find a way.
How did he find out?
Your girlfriend.
What? She wouldn't do that. She hates the guy.
Hate him or love him, she told him.
I can't believe it. I
suggest you call our little doll Jerry and give her your regards for the double cross. Meanwhile, stay put in your apartment. Don't move.
But Rainey... Hello. Hello.
$275,300.
$319,300. Archie, what on earth are you mumbling about?
The high cost of blonde.
Indeed.
Oh, you can say that again.
I have no intention of doing so.
Okay, be smug. But there must have been a time even in your life when knickknacks from Tiffany figured on the budget.
Phooey.
Not to mention steak dinners and champagne. Or what did you feed your girls? Peppermint lozenges?
Nonsense.
Nonsense?
They preferred lime.
Oh, I'm dying and he laughs. Mr. Wolf?
Yes?
I have decided that you are giving me a raise.
Archie, this is not a period in which unilateral decisions are wise.
So I'll be a dope and get a raise, huh?
As for your future mental attainments, you may be right. As for a raise...
You want to drive me to gambling? Like betting on fights or going... Okay, it's the doorbell and I'm answering it.
The name's Rainey. You're Goodwin?
I'm Goodwin. Come in.
Is Wolf in?
Mr. Wolf is always in, unlike prize fighters, I guess. Come on.
Thank you.
Mr. Wolf, this is Mr. Rainey, the man who lost his prize fighter.
How do you do, sir?
I'm not doing so good. Mr. Wolf, you got to help me.
That would depend.
On what?
The fee. I digress. Your problem is what, Mr. Rainey?
Mr. Wolf, I manage a fighter named Gatto. Maybe you've heard of him.
I have not. However, that is of little significance. You are having difficulty with this Mr. Gatto?
I'm not having difficulty with him. I can't find him. Maybe you better let me give you the whole picture, huh?
Very well.
Well, Gatto is an up-and-coming boy, Mr. Wolf. He had a little upset last week with a guy named Eubanks. But everybody knows, in spite of that, Gatto's heading for the big time. I think he'll prove that when he goes against Mellish.
Mr. Mellish being another pugilist, huh?
That's right, Mr. Wolf. Now, Pepe, that's Gatto. Pepe was due at the Turf Club this afternoon to meet the opposition management and go over the setup. He was due, but he didn't show. I waited all afternoon, and then I started the phone calls and taxis.
The results?
No results. I combed every joint I ever knew him to buy a beer in, and the score was zero. Matter of fact, nobody's even seen him for 4 days.
You would have tried the gymnasiums, naturally?
I did.
Does this pugilist have a home?
Yeah, 206 A. Rathburn Street. Penthouse on the roof.
He was not at home during all this time?
It's where I tried first. It was empty as a bank on Saturday afternoon.
I see. And you want me to find him for you?
If Pepe blows this fight, Mr. Wolf, it'll ruin his career.
And the preservation of his career is worth a good deal to you?
I got a check for $2,000 right here.
Archie?
I'll get it. $2,000.
Very well, Mr. Rainey. I should take immediate steps.
I got a cab waiting outside. We can get started right away.
We? I should remain here.
But how do you expect to...
Archie.
Yes, Mr. Wolf.
You will leave him, Mr. Rainey. I need information. You might try the Rathburn Street penthouse to start with.
But I've already been there.
With all due apologies, Mr. Rainey, suppose you restrict your activities to pugilists. Archie is a trained observer. You are not. Archie, you will pick up whatever you can at Gatto's apartment. I especially suggest a careful check on his wardrobe.
Wardrobe?
If his clothes are missing, Mr. Rainey, it would indicate that he left voluntarily and deliberately, for whatever reasons he may have had. If they are not, Archie, you will phone me from the apartment after your investigation is over.
Okay.
I shall, in the meantime, devote some thought to the subject.
Huh? For $2,000, all you're going to do is devote some thought?
Mr. Rainey, if I were not a modest man, I would point out to you that you're getting quite a... a bargain.
Gatto?
He's not here, I told you that. I was up here before.
He left the door unlocked?
I had a key. Guess I forgot to lock up after I left.
Now, let's look around. Bathroom?
Yeah.
Empty. It's a nice penthouse. Got a closet?
Yeah. What do you think? He's playing hide and seek?
Try it.
Okay.
Anything in there?
Nothing I'm looking for.
What's that you found?
A hat.
Well, let's see.
A lady's hat.
Yeah, smart and expensive. Label reads a Madame Yetta original. That bunch of lace and feathers cost somebody a fast half a hundred.
Yeah, probably one of his girls left it behind.
And maybe she'll call for it. Come on, we'll take a gander out on the roof.
I took a gander out there. It's bare as a bone.
What have we got over there by the chimney?
Where?
Over there.
Just an old awning. Got blown down in the storm last month.
Be right with you.
What are you doing?
Looking under it. Oh, brother.
You found him?
Yeah, we found him, chum. A little late. Two holes in his dorsal development and dead as a clay pigeon.
Yeah.
Well, what have you got to say?
Well, now at least the bookies will cancel all bets. We both save our dough.
Yeah. I got to phone Mr. Wolf. And there he was, Mr. Wolf. Under the old canvas awning.
Where's the hat? Oh, this is it.
That's it, boss. Snazzy number, no?
Where'd you find it?
On the floor of the closet.
You're right, Archie. Frothy little bit of millinery caprice. Have you any idea whose it may be, Mr. Rainey?
I wish I did.
You'll have to find out.
Well, how, boss?
The hat is an original. See? The label under the band reads a Madame Yetta original. Tomorrow morning, Archie, you will interview Madame Yetta.
Yes, boss.
And discover in your inimitable fashion for whom she made this chapeau. Hello?
Archie again, Mr. Wolf. Per your instructions, I have just talked to Madame Yetta.
What did you learn?
Madame Yetta tells me she made that hat for a Mrs. Lawson.
Who is Mrs. Lawson?
Wife of an ex-beer hustler who's in the chips and puts on airs. Lives in a penthouse of the Bradford Arms. I was just about to hop a cab and go up there, boss.
Good. Keep this up, Archie. And through sheer practice, you may yet develop your full-blown intelligence.
Well, I'm trying, Mr. Wolf. And after the Larsons, I do what?
Return here immediately and hurry.
Oh, Mr. Goodwin. My secretary tells me you're a detective.
My boss might argue with you on that, Mr. Larson.
Your boss?
It happens I work for Nero Wolfe.
I see. And you wish to see me about...
About this hat.
Hat? Oh, I see, yeah. Well, Mr. Goodwin, please believe me, I never wear hats like that.
Would your wife be likely to say the same?
My wife? Just what are you getting at?
Would I seem too nosy if I asked how well you and your wife know Pepe Gatto?
How well do we know who?
Pepe Gatto.
The pug?
No, not such a pug.
No, huh? I lost 25,000 on him in the Eubanks fight. He asked me, he laid down like a dog.
And did you talk it over with him?
Talk it over with him? Never seen the man in my life.
Not even at the fight?
No, I placed the bet over the telephone. I'd scarcely have anything to do with a character like Gatto, Mr. Goodwin.
You surely won't from here on out, Mr. Larson.
What do you mean?
Gatto is dead.
You don't say.
He was murdered last night.
Murdered?
And what would you say, Mr. Larson, if I told you that this hat is your wife's
and that it was found in a closet in Gatto's apartment.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Are you implying...
Not implying. That... Facts are sticking out.
What time was this dumb brute done away with?
Oh, I'd set it at somewhere between 5 and 7 p.m. last night.
Now, you said it very conveniently. Thanks.
Why?
My wife and I drove out of the city at 4:30 yesterday afternoon. Didn't get back until 2 this morning.
And this hat? It took wings and flew into Gatto's closet? Is that the answer?
No, that's not the answer.
Then what is?
This is. A month and a half ago, I was with Celia on a bus stop. She was wearing that hat, and the wind blew it off her head.
I see. And from there, we figure that somebody picked it up, and it finally wound up at Gatto.
You can figure anything you please. Personally, I don't feel in any way obligated to figure anything.
Darling, I was just on my way out, and... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were busy.
Yes, I am busy, Celia.
Wait a minute. He's not all
Run
that
Run along
busy.
Now, dear. You'll be late.
But I want to talk
Run
to
along,
you.
Run along, Celia.
Yes, darling. Sorry. I'll see you later.
Beautiful. Really beautiful.
I've always thought so, Goodwin.
You, didn't give me much of a chance to talk to her, did you, Larson?
If I didn't, it's for your own good.
My good? I don't get it.
Celia's a sensitive person, and I won't have her bothered.
And do you mean to tell me you let him scare you?
Let him scare me? Say, will you stop being so fearless with my life? The guy said don't bother my wife, so I didn't bother his wife. It was that simple.
Apparently his wife is not blonde. Answer the phone, Archie.
No, you answer it. Now you've hurt my feelings.
Oh, well. Hello?
I want to speak to Mr. Nero Wolf.
Mr. Wolf speaking.
Oh? Is it true that you're interested in the Gatto murder?
Who are you, and how do you know he's been murdered?
The second question is none of your business. And as for the first, call me Jerry. J-E-R-I.
How do you do, Jerry? J-E-R-I. Where do you call?
Would you like to come to an auction?
An auction?
You know, going, gone, to the highest bidder.
And what are you placing on the auction block, Miss Jerry?
A few facts. All in good condition and guaranteed to make it a cinch to snag the Gatto killer.
Sounds promising.
Only you'll have to bid against real money.
May I have the address of the auction room?
You'll have no trouble finding it. Your assistant was there last night.
Where?
The penthouse on top of 206A Rathburn Street. The big item goes on at 4 bell.
Yeah? Who is it?
Man named Wolf sent me.
Just a sec.
You're Jerry, huh?
I was expecting the man named Wolf.
Unfortunately for me, honey, when he's expected, I usually show up.
Come on in.
You? See, I'm the legs of the combination. He's the brains. It makes a nice division of labor.
I see. You came in plenty of time.
On the nose is our custom. Where are the rest of the bidders?
Any second now.
Mm-hmm. How many besides me are coming?
One.
Small auction.
But big action.
How'd you happen to decide on this?
I knew Gatto pretty good.
And you were fond of him pretty good, huh?
How did you guess?
Well, you've got a key to this place of his, or you couldn't let yourself in. It adds, no?
Gee, you should have been a detective.
Just what I keep telling Mr. Wolf. Look, tell me, Jerry, darling, this other person who is coming to the auction, who?
The killer.
You don't say. You sure the killer isn't here already?
Look, I didn't kill him.
The story you would like me to believe is that you witnessed the killing, huh? Called the killer and Mr. Wolf and said, come on, kids, you can get me either to talk or shut up, depending on who pays the most, Bennett.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, prove you know what you're talking about. Who is the killer? Is it Block Rainey?
Should also have your head examined, pretty boy. I talk for dough and only for dough. Not that I'm mercenary or anything,
but... Okay. Okay, tell me this. How come you saw the killer in the act?
Simple. I was here with Gatto. Called me to come see him. While I was here, the shot came through the window there from the roof.
You know something, sweetheart?
What?
I can't understand how a girl like you, a pretty nice girl under all that paint and powder and Broadway shellac, how you could do a thing like this. You were in love with Gatto, I know that, everybody does. And still you're willing to keep your mouth shut if the killer pays enough. How come? What's the matter, honey? Did I hit a tender spot?
I don't think you understand. Sure, I was in love with the goof. Then along comes this other dame. She's rich and beautiful, and she has everything to give him.
Ooh, do I know her?
Of course you do. She's...
Jerry! Jerry.
She was just about to tell me, and then the shot came through the window from the roof, boss. It's a flat roof outside.
You didn't, I suppose, see the murderer?
No. I caught Jerry in my arms. By the time I laid her down on the couch and got out on the roof, the killer was gone.
Get right over here and bring our client with you, if you can find him.
Rainey?
That's right. He has a right to be in on the kill.
Okay, boss. But keep away from that beer till I get there.
Don't be impertinent. I should be busy phoning Mr. and Mrs. Lawson. Meanwhile, I want them here, too. Besides, one bottle won't do any harm. Ah, there they are. Let them in, Archie. You remain seated, Mr. Rainey.
Okay, Mr. Wolf.
Well, come in, Mr. Lawson. Come in.
Mr. Wolf here?
He's here. Nice of you to come.
Anything to help the law.
Ah, Mr. Lawson. Your wife didn't come.
No, Mr. Wolf. She was out when you called. Sorry, I forgot to tell you. I left word with the butler, however.
Mr. Lawson, about 20 minutes ago, a girl named Jerry Fay was killed.
So?
She was killed in your neighborhood, in a flat formerly occupied by one Pepe Gatto.
Well, where would that be?
Maybe your wife knows where the flat would be.
How dare you, sir?
No histrionics, please. Where was your wife when the girl was killed? I'm advising you that if that is an alibi, now's the time to state it.
I wouldn't humiliate Celia by alibying for her.
And the police will pick her up.
But she didn't kill this girl, Mr. Wolf.
You have reasons for that opinion?
The best of reasons.
I'd be grateful if you'd state them and let me be the judge of their excellence.
One should do. This one. Celia's out in the country visiting her mother.
No.
Does that settle it?
Possibly. What's her mother's telephone number?
Why,
Merely a routine check.
Well, can't you take my word?
I'll take her mother's number. Well, Mr. Lawson?
I'm sorry. I hoped you'd buy the story.
What do you mean?
Her mother's been dead for 10 years.
I see.
Well, I don't. What's the idea?
It's known as marital devotion, Archie. I suppose you realize, Mr. Lawson, that in shielding your wife, you're aiding and abetting a murderess?
I haven't stopped to realize anything. When Goodwin brought me that hat, I didn't know what to say.
Oh, you pitched me a curve then, too.
Well, I suppose you might call it that, but...
And she didn't lose the chapeau off a bus top.
No, but you've got to understand. Celia's the dearest thing in life to me.
Yeah, so's a lady rattlesnake to its husband.
I suggest it is time for you to be objective in this matter, Mr. Lawson.
What do you want to know?
Tell us where she can be found.
I have no idea.
When is she expected to return home?
Never.
Oh?
You see, we had an argument. I doubt that I'll ever see her again.
Then we are quite on our own, Archie.
To do what?
To make a journey to Gatto's apartment.
Gatto's apartment?
She probably has a key to that popular abode.
But she wouldn't go there, boss.
On the contrary, I am of the opinion that that's just where she would go. Give me my hat.
Don't tell me you're going to stir yourself.
It's a most unpleasant necessity, Archie. But the lady in question is dangerous and not at all hesitant about indiscriminate gunplay. Get out the car, Archie. We'll make the journey to Rathburn Street penthouse with the hope that Celia Lawson will show up in time to mourn her lost love.
You want me to go along with you too, Mr. Wolf?
Yes, indeed, Mr. Rainey, I do. I trust this chair will hold me.
Should. Biggest chair in the house.
Mr. Wolf.
Yes, Mr. Rainey?
Mr. Wolf, am I to understand that the way you have it figured is that Mrs. Lawson killed Gatto, and then to keep the girl from pinning the crime on her, she killed her too?
What's the matter, Mr. Rainey? Don't you think the theory holds water?
Well, yes. I mean, of course it does.
Thank you. On the other hand, there is room for doubt.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Mr. Wolf. Would you mind explaining?
I'll explain, Mr. Lawson. Mr. Goodwin was in this room when Jerry Fay was killed. Right, Archie?
Right, boss.
He ran as quickly as he could out onto the roof, but your wife was nowhere in evidence.
What difference does that make?
A good deal, I'd say. Wouldn't you, Archie?
Yes, a detail like that would give a jury room for doubt.
Oh, don't be a fool.
How so, Rainey?
Well, I was about to agree with Rainey. I mean, on sheer logic.
I'm afraid I miss your point, Mr. Lawson.
Well, what if Goodwin didn't see her? That proves nothing. She fired the shots and then she ran down the fire escape.
What fire escape?
The one a few feet beyond the chimney.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes?
Who told you there was a fire escape there?
Why,
Who did? You can't see it from here, Lawson.
Well, I just imagine there might be.
Sensationally accurate imagination, Mr. Lawson. Allow me to congratulate you.
I don't know what you have in mind.
You have in mind to see your wife convicted of the murder of Pepe Gatto. And so punish them both for having dared to fall in love.
I love Celia. I worship her.
Yes, that's what you expected me to believe. Hoping, meanwhile, that a hat would convict her. You worshipped her until she became fascinated by a young savage animal known as Pepe Gatto.
No.
At that point, the worship shifted into reverse, and you went green with hate. Hate that drove you to climb that fire escape that you know so much about and shoot him in the back.
You're dreaming.
Jerry Fay saw you in the act, and when she was about to divulge your identity to Archie, you killed her too, meaning to hang her murder on your wife along with the other killing.
That's a lie.
Mr. Lawson, I didn't bring you here to apprehend your wife. There's really no reason why she should come here. I suggested this visit in the belief that you'd betray some guilty knowledge of the place and circumstances, as you have so obligingly just done.
You're clever, aren't you?
Monumentally.
But a little hasty.
So? Why?
There's a gun in my hand. Haven't you noticed?
Of course, sir, but yours is not the only gun in the world.
What?
Sit still, Arnold. And don't turn around.
Your wife, Mr. Lawson. Come in, my dear.
Celia, what are you doing here?
I came to get a hat that I'd left in Pepe's closet. It suddenly was clear to me what was in the wind, and I thought I'd better remove all evidence that you could possibly use against me.
Celia, listen, you must understand.
I understand one thing only. Pepe's gone, and you took him away.
Listen, please, if you let me explain, you'll understand.
Yeah?
Please, honey, help me.
Sure, I'll help you.
Celia!
Well, that's all, Mr. Wolf. What now?
Archie, why is it when you drive it always gets so crowded outside?
Will it go tough on her, boss?
Why not? She killed a man in cold blood. Though she actually saved our lives while doing so.
I hope that helps her at the trial.
I hope so, Archie. After all, if she hadn't done what she did, what would have happened to the lobster bisque?
What lobster bisque?
The lobster bisque that Fritz is making for dinner. Hurry, Archie. It really can't be appreciated unless it's eaten hot.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Ann Diamond, Charlotte Lawrence, Gerald Moore, Don Diamond, and Eddie Fields. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Killer Card. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Saturday night is date night, and NBC has a lively lineup of music and fun to help your courting along. Tomorrow, Dennis Day brings you a melodic and mirthful 30 minutes, and then Judy Canova gets together with her gang for a sparkling session of mountain-style song and laughter, followed by singing MC Red Foley and his friends on that exciting parcel of Western tunes and mayhem Grand Ole Opry. Here's Sam Spade. Three chimes mean good times.
Something in the air? You bet. Excitement. Because four exciting new shows go on the air tonight, starting right now. ABC brings out its first Monday night surprise package labeled Dashiell Hammett's Fat Man. The fat man is the stalwart detective whose huge size doesn't slow up his progress a bit when it comes to sleuthing. And speaking of detectives, you'll want to meet hard-talking Ross Dolan, played by William Gargan. His business is crime. In his words, I deal in crime, and he follows in half an hour. And then the Dean of Music Makers, Paul Whiteman, and his new show, Forever Tops, the top tunes that will live forever. Paul Whiteman plays them on Forever Tops. And did you know that your top stage and screen laugh favorites, Jimmy and Lucille Gleason, have opened a diner? What a diner. You see, that's what we meant when we said excitement in and on the air tonight and every Monday night on ABC. Right now, let's take a trip into adventure with Dashiell Hammett's Fat Man.
Wait, 247. Fortune, danger.
Who is it?
The Fat Man.
The American Broadcasting Company brings you Dashiell Hammett's latest and most fascinating character, the Fat Man. The hard-boiled, hard-hitting adventures of a criminologist who tips the scale at 247 pounds. Tonight's adventure, The 19th Pearl. And now, here is the Fat Man.
One of the worst things about being fat is feeling thin. That extra load you carry around is something you never think about till you bump into a full-length mirror, or drop a penny into a drugstore scale. Even then you don't feel fat. The only time you really feel it is when you run into a beautiful woman. That's when the old collar kind of chokes you and your hands look big and your legs are hard to cross. That's when you're glad you've got a busy job like mine, solving crimes. This one began in Grand Central Station, right near the information center. My mother was going away for a weekend. I was there to put her on the train.
You don't have to wait around till the gates open, son. I've gotten on trains before.
It's all right, Ma. It's a free night for me anyway. Want some peanuts?
For heaven's sake, no.
I do. Be right back. Bag peanuts, Jenny.
All right.
Better make it two.
Here you are. Okay.
Sorry, sister. I didn't mean to bump into you.
It's all right. I wasn't looking where... Please, will you do me a favor?
Hmm?
It's terribly important. Here, hold this bag for me. Oh, quick, he's coming.
Who?
Don't let him see me. He mustn't know I'm here.
Why not? What have you done?
Nothing. I... Stand in front of me, will you? Quick. Put your arms around me as if you were kissing me goodbye.
Say, what kind of a game is this?
Please, cover my face and kiss me.
Okay, sister. How's this?
Hold it.
How long?
Oh, no. No, don't stop. Just keep your arms around me.
As long as you say, baby. You know, I've heard about things like this, but I never figured it would happen to a guy like me.
All right. That's enough.
I wish I thought so. We ought to do this more often.
I'll have to run now. He's gone.
Maybe you'll be back.
Oh, no. No. I mustn't miss the train. Thanks ever so much for helping me.
Hey, wait a minute. Aren't you going to tell
me? No, there isn't time.
But I don't even know... Okay, sister. Two ships that pass in the night.
Well, that was a fond farewell. Who was it, dear?
I don't know.
What?
Never saw her before in my life.
Is that why you were kissing her?
Don't make a romance out of it, Ma. She just borrowed me for a quick hug, and that's all there was to it.
Well, I don't know that it's wise to kiss strange women in stations, son. Have you still got your watch?
I've got more than my watch, Ma. I've still got her bag.
But how do you know she's on this train, dear?
I saw her duck into the car ahead.
Well, leave the bag with me. I'll give it to her as soon as we pull out of the station.
Are you kidding?
Son, we're going to start in a moment.
It's all right. I'll ride up to 125th Street.
Just to give her back her bag?
That's a good enough reason.
Well, be sure you get off at 125th Street.
Oh, we're moving.
Okay, Ma. I'll take the bag up to her now.
What's the matter?
That dame's on the platform. I'm getting off.
Careful, son. Watch your step.
Sure, sure. See you later.
Bye.
Good evening, beautiful.
Oh, you frightened me.
I didn't the last time. You want to play some more?
I don't think so.
Well, don't go away. I still got your bag.
Oh, well, thank you.
What's this all about, kid? Who'd you knock off?
I beg your pardon.
You must have done something, otherwise you wouldn't be running away.
Why not? Can't I be running away from danger? There's a man following me.
The guy on that train?
How did you know he was on it?
Simple arithmetic. You got on to give him the slip. He must have followed you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have got off.
That's exactly what happened.
What else happened?
I don't know what you mean.
Come on, kid. Tell me the truth or I won't help you.
I don't know that I want you to help me.
Okay, sister. I'll walk right out of the picture.
No, wait.
Changed your mind?
No. A man who's been following me changed it.
Huh?
He's standing right over there on the platform.
You'll be safe here, Miss Evans.
Is this your office?
Yeah. Step in.
Thank you.
Sit down. Make yourself at home. Every chair in this place is comfortable.
Have you sampled them all?
Everyone. There's one thing I hate, it's sitting on hard wood. Have an apple, Miss Evans?
No thanks.
Awful good.
No thanks.
Well, tell me now, how long has this guy been following you?
About 3 days.
And you don't know who he is or what he's after?
No.
What do you do for a living, Miss Evans?
I'm an actress.
On the stage?
When I'm working.
Maybe I've seen you.
Not in New York. I haven't done anything here yet.
Rich daddy?
No. No daddy at all.
And what keeps you in those gorgeous clothes?
I have a private income. My father left me some money.
Those beautiful pearls, too?
these aren't real.
Aren't they? Let me see them.
Don't you believe me?
No.
Why not?
Because you're not a very good liar.
What?
Even experienced ones take a deep breath after every lie they tell. But you've been pumping away like an iron lung.
How dare you talk to me like that?
Get out of here, Miss Evans. I won't take your case.
You won't get it, you insufferable man.
Keep going, keep going.
What?
Keep yelling at me. There's someone outside the door.
You overbearing, conceited pig. If I were a man, I'd give you the beating of your life.
That's enough. Well, what are you doing out here, mister?
Nothing. I was just...
Hey, come back here, you. You son of a gun, I'll make it much harder for you when I catch you. You gonna stop, you punk, or do I have to dive for you?
Oh, you big ape.
I'm not as slow as I look.
Well, you didn't have to tackle me.
I'm sorry, old man. My old football training. Can you get up?
I don't know.
There you are. Now, maybe you'll tell me what you were doing outside my door.
I was keeping an eye on Miss Evans.
That's an interesting pastime. Come on back to the office and tell us why.
It's my job. I'm a private detective.
Well, well. Who hired you?
Mrs. Stanton. Mrs. Jeffrey Stanton.
The banker's wife?
Yes. She wants a record of every move Miss Evans makes.
Why?
That's my business.
Well, maybe Miss Evans has an interest in it. Miss Evans! Miss Evans, where are you?
What's the matter?
He's gone.
A gentleman to see you, Mrs. Stanton.
Who is it, Carl?
He refused to give me his card, madam. He simply said the fat man is calling.
Fat man? What do you suppose he wants?
Some information, Mrs. Stanton.
Good heavens. What do you mean by coming in here unannounced?
But I was announced. I'm the fat man.
Well, I've never had the pleasure of meeting you, and I certainly don't intend to do so now. Show him out, Carl.
I don't think Carl is man enough, Mrs. Stanton. You'd better let me stay.
What do you want?
Some information about Miss Evans. I couldn't get a thing out of that clam you had following her.
What clam? What are you talking about?
Shall I call the police, Mrs. Stanton?
No. No, I can manage this car.
Very well, madam.
Now then, what were you saying, Mr.? Don't believe you mentioned the name.
I didn't. People remember me better as the fat man.
Oh. Oh, I know who you are now. Mr. Parker told me about you.
Parker?
The man you very nearly killed in the hall outside your office. He said you fell on him like a ton of bricks.
He had no right listening outside my door. Did you really hire him to follow Miss Evans?
I did.
May I ask why?
You shouldn't have to. I thought everybody knew I was anxious to divorce my husband. Miss Evans is just one of the grounds.
One?
The only one I'll need. You see, Mr. Stanton made the mistake of giving her a necklace.
What?
Quite an expensive one, in fact. Matched pearls.
Oh, I see.
You seem disappointed.
In Mr. Stanton?
No, in Miss Evans. You're not a friend of hers, I hope.
Are you sure he gave her that necklace, Mrs. Stanton?
Well, I believe it was a gift. I've never inquired. I don't really care to know how these arrangements are worked out.
In other words, your husband and Miss Evans...
Let's not put it into words, if you don't mind. There'll be enough of that when the case comes up in court.
When the case comes up, Mrs. Stanton, you'll have to prove it. And right now, your star witness, Miss Evans, is missing.
Oh, not really missing. Unless something's happened to her.
What?
I don't know. Frankly, I don't really care. Parker will find her sooner or later.
Where?
Probably at my husband's apartment.
Oh. Doesn't he live here?
No. Not regularly.
Well, after meeting you, Mrs. Stanton, I can't say I blame him. Mr. Stanton in?
Yeah, he's in.
O'Hara, what are you doing here, Captain?
Come on in. I'm waiting for the medical examiner.
Oh. Who's dead?
Who do you think? Stanton lived here all alone.
He might have had company.
He did, a little earlier. There's a knife in his chest.
Who put it there?
I don't know. The murderer didn't leave his card. Want to see the body?
You might as well. Where is it?
Right over there in the corner. And leave those chocolate-covered almonds alone. Place hasn't been gone over yet.
When did all this happen?
I don't know yet. I just got here a few minutes ago.
And the body was right where it is now?
I'm sure it hasn't moved.
It's funny, isn't it?
What?
How a guy gets stabbed in the chest without putting up any kind of a fight. No sign of a struggle around here.
So what?
Nothing. I just don't like it, that's all.
Why not?
Because the usual place for a knife is in the back. The chest, you see it coming. You got a chance to protect yourself.
Not if you trust the person that's coming at you. Not if she's your sweetheart or something like that. Then you don't see the knife till it's too late.
What makes you think it's his sweetheart?
I don't. I don't even know if the man had one.
Well, then stop putting a noose around her neck.
Whose noose? What are you driving at?
Nothing. Nothing. I just don't like your theory, O'Hara.
Well, it's apparent he was killed by somebody he trusted. If it wasn't his sweetheart, then...
Will you stop mentioning his sweetheart?
Why? Is she a friend of yours or something?
Don't be funny.
What are you mad at? What's eating you tonight?
Your theories. Stanton could have been sitting in that chair when he was killed. The murderer could have moved the body to throw us off the track.
I doubt it. The murderer didn't even have time to cover up the one clue that's going to convict him.
What's that?
A piece of string in the dead man's hand. You see how Stanton is holding onto it?
String? Looks more like a strong silk thread.
Probably something he tore from the murderer's clothing just before the knife went into his heart.
You don't tear single threads from a person's clothing, O'Hara.
Then what is it?
I don't know. Let's open his hand and see.
Wait a minute. We don't have to open it. I can see something between the fingers.
What is it?
A pearl.
Miss Evans. Miss Evans, if you're in your room, for the love of Mike, open up.
Who is it?
The fat man.
Hello?
Yes, open up, will you?
Well, what's wrong?
Buddy, I've got to talk to you like a Dutch uncle.
Oh, wait a minute. You can't come in.
Shut up. You're in trouble, kid. I'm going to find out just how much. Where did you disappear to when I went after that guy that was following you?
I ran down the stairs. Why?
That's what I want to know. Why?
To get away from him, of course. I knew you wouldn't let him follow me.
I wish I had. Where did you go?
Home.
That's a lie. I've been calling up here all night.
Well, I stopped off for a bite to eat.
Where? that Mr. Stanton's apartment?
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, baby. Tell me the truth. I know half of it now. I want the other half, or I'll call in the cops.
What have I done that's wrong?
Lots of things. Most of them aren't my business. But murder is.
Murder?
You heard me. Don't stand there looking from one of my eyes to the other. Even a lousy actress can look innocent. She's beautiful enough.
Why do you keep saying I'm beautiful?
Because you are. And if I weren't a man and a half, I'd take you in my arms and...
And what?
Never mind.
Go ahead. Do it.
Are you kidding?
Do it. I want you to kiss me.
My name isn't Darling.
You never told me what it was. What can I call you?
Nothing.
You've got to believe me, Darling. You've got to trust me.
Why?
Because I trust you. Will you kiss me?
Yeah.
Oh, you're awfully sweet when you want it.
Who gave you that necklace you were wearing?
What?
Who gave it to you? Why aren't you wearing it now?
I just took it off.
Where is it?
Don't you believe me?
Where is it? I want to see it.
I've got it.
Where?
Right here on my dress. Are you satisfied?
Not yet. Is this the necklace you were wearing in my office?
How many of these trinkets do you think I have?
How do I know? There must be more where this came from. Who gave it to you?
Mr. Stanton.
Why didn't you tell me that before?
Because it was none of your business.
Well, that's a good answer. Is it my business now?
If you want.
How do you want it to be, Miss Evans?
I want it to be Kathy, not Miss Evans.
Okay, Kathy. I'll take your case.
Have I got one?
You will have. The cops will be swarming all over this place by tomorrow morning.
Why?
Don't worry. Everything will be all right.
You didn't feel that way when you came in.
When I came in, I never expected to find this string of pearls. Not in one piece, anyway. You mind if I take them?
What for?
I thought you trusted me.
You still haven't answered my question.
I need these pearls to make your alibi stand up, Kathy. Don't forget, I'm working for you, but the police aren't. Sure these pearls were bought here, Mr. Werner?
Quite sure. I matched them for Mr. Stanton myself.
No chance of a duplicate set looking exactly like these.
Very unlikely. Pearls are almost as individual as people. That's why they're so hard to match.
I see. This is your clasp, of course.
Oh, yes. It was made here.
And the string?
Oh, the string might be anybody's. There's nothing distinctive about a string.
But the pearls are distinctive.
Quite. Why did Mr. Stanton rearrange them?
You mean they're not in the right order?
Oh, the order is correct. But, I only counted 18.
What?
The big one in the center is missing.
Hello.
Hello, Kathy.
Oh, yes.
This is the fat man. Do you want to swing for the murder of Mr. Stanton?
No.
Then do what I tell you.
But I didn't kill him.
Then why didn't you tell me you knew he was dead, you two-faced...
No!
Shut up. I know you were in Stanton's apartment tonight. You had to be, or you wouldn't have had that necklace back.
I don't know what you mean.
Don't play dumb with me. You picked those pearls up off the floor and strung them together again. All except one.
What?
You stupid little fool. You left the most important one in the dead man's hand.
Oh, no.
Now, this is your last chance, Kathy. Meet me in my office in 15 minutes or I go to the police.
But I...
Be there.
Yes?
It's me, Kathy.
Come in.
Mr. Parker, what are you doing?
Waiting for you. The fat man sent for me.
Where is he?
He'll be back. He stepped out for a few minutes.
Oh?
Come on in. Don't be afraid.
Well, I...
Come on. The fat man wants me to show you something.
What?
Look over there on top of the desk.
See it?
What is it?
A pearl. The largest one of a set.
And what's it doing here?
That's the fat man's business. He just wanted me to show it to you. Recognize it?
I don't know very much about pearls.
Then you wouldn't be interested in buying it?
Not from you. Who told you it was for sale?
The fat man. He offered it to me for...
What's the matter?
There's a microphone hidden in this bowl of fruit. The fat man must be interested in your reactions.
Where do the wires go?
Over here, to the window and down the side of the building. He must be listening in another office.
He won't listen anymore.
Don't do that, you fool. Put that microphone down.
Why?
Because he'll know you smashed it. You want to get... Where's that pearl, Miss Evans?
I beg your pardon.
That pearl. You took it off the desk while I was at the window.
Oh, you're mistaken. I haven't been near the desk.
Come on. Give it to me or I'll search you for it.
Let go of me.
Not until you put that pearl back. Open your hand.
No,
open
I
it,
won't.
I said. The fat man will kill me if you get away with this. Come back here, you little devil.
Not on your life.
Just a moment, Miss Evans.
Mrs. Stanton.
Yes. I'll take that pearl, please.
Look out. She's got a gun.
Stay where you are, young lady.
No, you can't make me.
Stop. I told you to stop. You're wanted by the police for the murder of my husband. Get in the cab, Miss Evans.
Where are you taking me?
Get in.
I'll watch you, Mrs. Stanton.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. All right, driver. Hurry. Police headquarters.
Right.
Why don't you start?
Gotta wait for the light to change, lady.
You gotta wait for me, too.
The fat man.
Surprise. How do you feel, Kathy?
Why, I'm all right.
You better have somebody look at that shoulder. Franklin Hospital, driver. Make it snappy.
Okay.
Just a moment. We're taking her to police headquarters.
With a fresh wound in her shoulder? She needs medical attention.
But I said...
Franklin Hospital, driver, and don't spare the horses. How is she, Doc?
Oh, she'll be all right. Bullet just grazed her shoulder.
You're very lucky, Miss Evans.
You mean you're very lucky? Don't you know it's against the law to go around shooting people?
I couldn't let her get away with that pearl, could I?
Why not? That isn't the one they found in your husband's hand. That's just a hunk of paste.
But you told us all to come to your office so you could trap the one who tried to steal it.
How did you know that?
It was obvious.
That's no excuse for shooting at her, Mrs. Stanton.
Oh, I didn't really shoot. I tried to frighten her more than anything else.
Well, in any case, I'll have to make a report to the police. Will you come with me, Mrs. Stanton?
Certainly.
You're a dead pigeon, Kathy.
What do you mean?
Even a bald-headed jury won't save you on this one.
But I didn't kill him.
I think you did. What's your vote, Parker?
I won't say until I've heard all the facts.
But you know all the facts. Didn't you follow her to Stanton's apartment late this afternoon?
Yes, I did.
Well, how long was she there?
About 20 minutes.
And she went right to the railroad station as soon as she left his apartment.
But I didn't kill him. He was dead when I got there.
Then why did you pick up the pearls and string them together again?
Because I knew I was being framed. Somebody put that necklace in Mr. Stanton's hand.
That's a good one.
It's true. I didn't have the pearls when I went to his apartment.
What?
It was stolen from me this morning.
Can you prove that?
No.
Can you prove it to me, Kathy?
I don't know. Look at me.
I'm looking.
I didn't kill Mr. Stanton. I swear I didn't.
That's not good enough, Kathy. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll help you get out of here.
What?
I'll give you a head start on the police.
Don't be a fool.
Mind your own business, Parker.
This is my business. If she killed Stanton...
Go on. Give her a break, will you?
No. I'm just as responsible as you are. You can't make me a party to this.
Then turn your back on it.
You're crazy. It's a felony to assist a criminal. I'm going to call the police.
Get away from that phone.
For heaven's sake, use your head. They'll catch her anyway.
Get away from that phone, I said.
No, don't. Don't. I can't run away. It'll only make it look worse.
Why, of course. The sooner we call the police, the better.
Hello?
Hello. Get me the police department, please.
Yes, sir.
You're not going to make that call, Parker.
What?
You're not going to make that call if I have to pick up one of these knives and jab it into your ribs.
Yeah, put that down, you fool.
Now, you see, Parker, even on short notice, a man reaches out for the murderer's hand, the hand with the knife.
What?
Don't you understand? When a man comes at you with a knife, you reach for his hand, not for his throat.
What are you talking about?
Stanton. He couldn't have torn those pearls off Kathy's neck. If she came at him with a knife, he'd have grabbed for her hand the way you grabbed mine.
You mean she was framed?
You guessed it. She was framed by a guy who knew every move she made. A guy who knew when he could steal that necklace and plant it in Stanton's hand at the most effective time. Who fits that description, Parker? Who knew every move Kathy made these last 3 days?
Well, why are you looking at me?
Because you're it. You wanted Stanton out of the way so you and Mrs. Stanton could get married and live on Stanton's dough. You're no private detective. I found that out 5 minutes after I met you.
Drop that knife and stay where you are. I've got a gun.
Look out, Kathy. You may use it.
I will if you don't get out of my way.
Hello?
That phone's open, Parker. You're giving the police your whole confession.
What?
This! Oh!
Hello? Hello?
Take it easy, Captain. I'm bringing in a murderer. So you and Stanton were just good friends, Kathy?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Must have thought an awful lot of his friends to give them pearl necklaces.
Well, I know you won't believe it, but he was like that. He once gave a surgeon a brand new car just for operating on his hand.
What did you do for the old boy?
I went out with him. Let him take me to shows and things.
Well, here's where I get off.
My home already?
This is it. Night, Kathy.
Oh, wait a minute. Am I ever going to see you again?
I don't know.
Why not? Don't you like me?
Sure. I like all beautiful women. Trouble is, I fall in love with them.
And what's wrong with that?
Having to fall out. So long, Kathy. Remember, nobody loves a fat man.
Listen again next week at the same time when the American Broadcasting Company brings you another adventure of Dashiell Hammett's exciting new character, the Fat Man. Next week's story is called The Unfamiliar Face. And as the Fat Man says,
know a man's face and you know the man behind it. Line for line, it tells the story of his life. From the women he's known to the crimes he's committed.
Tonight's adventure of the Fat Man, played by J. Scott Smart, was directed by Robert Sloan. Bernard Green composed and conducted the original music.
Hold on to your nerves. Next comes a guy who keeps busy chasing fugitives and frails. It's William Gargan as Private Detective Ross Dolan, shooting his way through the mystery thriller, I Deal in Crime. This is the American Broadcasting Company.
That's going to do it for Case Closed this week. Hope you liked the selections this time. You can find more from Nero Wolfe, The Fat Man, past episodes of Case Closed, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. Our Shoutcast stream is available at the website as well, and you can donate if you'd like to help support this and all the Relic Radio shows. Thank you to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another hour of Case Closed.